Good morning.
Good morning.
And let me say again, welcome to Central. For all of you, we are grateful that you are here. You are here today, more than likely, because you either are a member here or because somebody that is a member here loves you very much and wanted to share this church with you today. And we are glad that you are here with us. Today, I get to talk about one of my favorite topics. It is, I've got a lot to say because it's one of my favorite topics. And my topic is the Central Church of Christ. I get to talk about a church that I love very much. I got here in 2019 by the grace of God and got here just in time to see the whole place, you know, come apart during a pandemic. That was a lot of fun. But over the last 4 years, I've gotten to know this church and to love it and adore it. And I think if you come to know what this church is about, you will feel the same. It is a place to be. That much is certain. So today, the purpose of our lesson is a little different. We'll be talking about the scriptures as we go, but the purpose of today's lesson, we want to introduce our guests and reintroduce our members to the Central Church of Christ, to who we are and what we're about. If you're a guest and you're hearing about us for the first time and you're here and you're curious, hopefully you get a little picture of what this church family is about. If you're a member here and you're here every Sunday and you've been here your whole life, what I hope is today is a reminder of why you've come to love this place and why you're here, and encourages you as we continue in the life of the Central Church of Christ. I want to begin by talking about Central's heritage, where we come from and who we are. In terms of a place and a location, the Central Church of Christ has been a part of the community of Ada for a long time. You can go back to a building down on East Main. I know Benny mentions it once in a while. He'll say, you know, down on East Main, and I say, what? It's back there a ways, but there was even a place before that. This congregation has been a part of the heritage of this community for a very long time, and we, again, by God's will continue to be so. But those buildings and those locations don't tell you who and what we are and what we're trying to accomplish. The first thing I'd want you to know about this congregation, about this church, is that we hope to be merely Christians. I wish this was the only slide I could show you today, in fact, that I could just say, what is the Central Church of Christ about? Well, merely Christians, amen, go home. Because that's the dream. One of my favorite books is Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And when he wrote that book, Lewis was Anglican, but he went around and he talked to Catholics and he talked to Scottish Congregationalists and different folks of different churches. And he says, tell me, what is Christianity at its core? Like, what is it really about? What's the thing that everybody says, yes, that's Christianity? And then he wrote a book titled Mere Christianity, based on a series of BBC broadcasts, where he's just simply summarized what Christianity was about. And anytime I read it, and I reread it every so often, I just say, yes, that. Everything else we pile on top of it makes a mess out of it. But that, the goodness, the central theme of Christianity is supposed to be what we're about, and everything else is a distraction from that. The word Christian is used just three times in the New Testament. One is in Acts chapter 20 or so, 26, I think, actually, where Paul is preaching a sermon, and he preaches a good sermon, and King Agrippa says, and I memorized this out of the King James, so forgive the thee and thou, but almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. That there was something about Christianity that was enticing and meaningful, even to a governor of a principality, a person of power and prestige. He heard the simple message from a prisoner of Christianity and said, that's really something impressive, almost. Couldn't quite give in. Paul says, I would that you were exactly like this, except for bonds. I don't want you to be chained up, but yeah, I wish you could be persuaded to be a Christian. The other two times that the word Christian is used gives us just a simple picture of what it is. And simple's the key word there, Acts 11 and 26. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. These disciples, these learners, these students of the message of Jesus Christ met together and lived together and shared their lives and service and worship together. They shared meals together. And as they came together so often, they came to share an identity as disciples of Jesus Christ. And at some point, the name, the simple name affixed to them was the name of Christians. We don't know exactly where the name come from. Historians tell us that maybe it was a name of mockery or derision that people said, those Christians. If that's where it came from, fine, but they accept it gladly because it described who they are. In fact, I think there's actually more to the story than that. Can I be a nerd for just a moment? If you come here very often, you'll hear me say that a lot, actually. I'm about to be a nerd now, so just stay tuned. If you look in the Greek text and read this verse where it says they were called Christians, the Greek word for called is the word that's translated everywhere else in the Bible as called by God. In the story of Jesus, when he's born and his birth, Joseph is trying to figure out where they should go, and it says he was warned of God in a dream. And the expression warned of God is the same Greek verb. That is, that this is a name, I don't know how they heard it, but it was a name instigated by God. It was a name that God wanted them to hold and to cherish. And they did. The other passage where the word Christian is used in the New Testament is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, where it says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." And Christians for 2,000 years have taken that instruction very seriously. In many places and at many times, Christians have suffered, quite often have died, and they have done that under the name of Christian, and they've brought glory to God on that behalf. That's all we want to be. So whatever else you hear today, I hope you hear that message. The first and foremost, the goal of this congregation is simply to reproduce the simple Christianity that has characterized God's people for so many years that we learned from Christ as his disciples. Now, some of you say, well, there's a lot of folks that say that. Tell us more about you. And then we can use a little more terminology. As Christians go, we probably identify most with the Protestant Reformation, because it was in the years of the Protestant Reformation that Christians began to say, yes, Christianity exists, but it seems to have been separated at times from the emphasis of the gospel. That it seems like Christianity means one thing and the gospel another, and Christianity is the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And it was in the Protestant Reformation that Christians began to strongly emphasize the significance of the message of the gospel. They had five great tenets that they believed in and that we share here today, that we're saved by Scripture alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, and we give glory to God alone. That there was a simplicity of the gospel that we cherished. And Christians argue about the details of each one of those, as you might guess, because we're good at that. We like to argue things. And we'll say, you know, what's that one mean and what's that one mean? What's the meaning of faith alone or grace alone? But in principle, conceptually, that's what we believe in. That there is a gospel, that there is a story of Jesus Christ come to the earth to die, and that having allegiance to that story and that message makes us who we need to be. And every action that follows out of that begins with the Scriptures, with the Christ, with faith, with grace, and it culminates in the glory of God. That's the dream. That's the goal. More specifically, if you get out a history book and want to know about our church, you'll find us in a category called the Restoration Movement. And this is a movement that's now over 200 years old, and it was the idea that we needed a plea to unity. The fear was that Christianity seemed to be splintering. Remember I said earlier, the goal is just to be merely Christian. There was a time where it felt like there were too many different kinds of Christians, where it felt like every Christian had to hyphenate their name. And so about two centuries ago, there were some people that said, what we really need is to restore the unity and identity of simple Christianity. They remembered the plea of Jesus in his prayer in John 17, 20 and 21. "I do not ask for these only, but also those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." Christ says if the world's going to believe in Christianity, it's going to be up to Christians to act Christianly. They're going to have to be unified in their purpose and their intent and their message. And anytime Christians are fractured or splintered, it hurts the task of sharing that precious message with the world. And so in our heritage, in our churches, we've believed in the great significance of a simple, unified Christianity. Through the years, the churches of Christ have had many slogans, and I'll share a few of them with you that I adore. One is, we're Christians only, but not the only Christians. It's not an exclusive claim, it's a simple claim. It's the idea that, again, we want mere Christianity. We want the simplicity of the message. We don't say that to judge others. We say that to remind ourselves of who we hope to be. We want to be Christians only, but not the only Christians. In faith, unity, in opinion, liberty, and all things love. But there's some things that are supposed to bind us together because they are essential. They are important. They're the foundation everything else stands on. There are some things we're going to disagree about. And I got news for you. I don't have a slide on this, but there's stuff we disagree on in the Central Church of Christ, right? In fact, if you come here, you're welcome to find some new things to disagree on, because we do. I've never known a church that was otherwise. That's the way it works. You get more than two people in a room, and they're going to disagree on some stuff. That's a fact. But the goal of a simple Christianity is to recognize unity in the essentials of faith and then liberty in the non-essentials of opinion. When we find that there's something we disagree on, we ask ourselves, is this the gospel or is this something else? And faith unity and opinion liberty, and one way or another, in all of these things, a love that we share between each other and that unity and that liberty. Finally, as we get through the heritage, finally, by the way, this is important. The word finally means nothing when I say it. I should probably have a slide. Finally, to the first set of points. So roughly a third. Okay. Finally, to the first set of points about our heritage, I'd want to emphasize that we're a Church of Christ. There are different groups that come out of the Restoration Movement. We are affiliated and associated with the Churches of Christ. I've been in Churches of Christ my entire life. I have never been ashamed to say that I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I love the Church of Christ. I've preached in Churches of Christ in Sacramento, California, in Kingston, Tennessee, in South Texas, in Kokomo, Indiana. I led worship for a Church of Christ in Upton, Wyoming. And in case you didn't know, I was the fifth person in the room and the last. There were five of us there that Sunday. And if you lead worship for the Upton Church of Christ, that also means you're saying all the prayers, handing out communion, taking up the collection, and helping the old ladies find their blankets. You are doing everything that day. It was the Williams Gospel Hour, okay? Done that too. I've been in Churches of Christ all my life. I've attended the Church of Christ at Seminole when it was on Park and Seminole before it moved to the new location. I've been at Seminole so long that even their building now that's 20 or 30 years old, I refer to as the new building, right? Because the old building's condemned, apparently. Anyway, I've been at the Church of Christ in Wetumpka. I've served in Midwest City and in Glenpool and then here at Central. I have been a member of the Church of Christ my whole life. For me, the Church of Christ is part of my identity and it's who I am. And it's a little bit, and I'll say this carefully, I don't want you to misunderstand, it's kind of like the way I feel about my little brother. I have a younger brother named John. I don't mean that in a demeaning way towards the church. But I have a little brother named John, and sometimes I criticize and pick on my little brother, but you don't get to, right? I've been in Churches of Christ long enough. I've seen us at our best, and I've seen us at our worst. I have been saved by churches. I have been wounded by churches. I don't mind being honest and telling you things that we get wrong, our warts and our blemishes, but I'm also the first to want to tell you the Church of Christ has a lot going for it because of the simplicity of the gospel that's at the center of its identity. That's who we want to be. And I love that heritage. In Churches of Christ, there are some identity markers that you'll notice on display here today. We're a free congregation, or the fancy term is congregationalist, which just simply means the church here is what it is because of the people that are here. This is not a church that answers to another organization or affiliation. Even when we say we're a Church of Christ, there's no superstructure of Churches of Christ that gets to tell us how to do things. Someday I wish there was, but most often it's nice to be able to be autonomous and to decide this is how we're going to do it here at Central. We believe in believers' baptism. We believe passionately in the symbolism of baptism, that it is, again, a reenacting of the gospel. That in water we die to sin and are born again to live in Jesus Christ as he was resurrected. We believe in weekly communion. Why? Because of the centrality of the gospel and what it means to us. We share an a cappella singing. We don't make a big deal about it. You don't see a lot of judgmental sermons about it. But that's the way we worship, as you may have noticed, for the first hour of the day, right? That's the way we worship. And we love it. We adore it. And one of the reasons we do is because it's simple, and it's because it's participatory. By which I mean it's not about the guy on the stage. It's about the people of the church celebrating and worshiping their God together as a family. It's about participation. And that's a beautiful thing. That's part of our identity, and we still cherish that even today. That's who we are. That's our heritage. To be a member of the Church of Christ, it's surprisingly simple. In fact, the word simple is going to come up a lot today because it is. You say, what's it mean to be a member of the Church of Christ? Here's how long catechism class takes, all right? Do you believe the gospel? Yep. Have you been baptized? Yep. You want to be here? Yep. That was catechism. We're done, right? It's surprisingly simple. We have a tendency not even to write things down. We have a tendency to keep it simple. If you're a baptized believer who wants to be a part of this congregation, we're probably going to say, yep, that's how simple it is. This is a group of people who simply are here because they want to be here. They're here because they want to be here because the gospel means enough to them to be in a place where the gospel is cherished. And they have found here something that helps them in the gospel. From time to time, people will ask me, how do you talk about your church positively without sounding condescending to other people's churches? And I'll just say it now. To me, it's kind of like finding a doctor you really like. Several years back, we had a doctor in the Tulsa area, good doctor. His staff was terrible. I never once had an appointment that started on time. In fact, I never had once an appointment that started within an hour of the time it was supposed to start. Never ran on time. Everything was chaos. But the doctor was great. In fact, he was so thorough. Celine had some blood testing done, and they discovered something that was a little bit of an anomaly. And they went looking at it, and he said, you know, it's like a 10,000 to one shot, but I want to run one more test to see what it is. And he discovered she had a particular disease that was curable. And even when they took her to the specialist says, there's no way you have this. It's not possible. And then he ran the test and said, you do. And so they gave her the drug. She got better. All done, right? It was a nice moment in our lives back about 10 years ago. And so after that, man, I love my doctor because he saved my wife's life. Okay? And so if you ask me about my doctor, I don't tell you your doctor's bad, but I'm just telling you my doctor's great. And that's the way I feel about my church. This church, these churches, are the churches who have made me who I am, and I love and adore them. I'm not saying yours is bad. I'm just saying if you're looking for one, this one saved our lives. That's why we're here, because it was what we needed, when we needed it, and it made all the difference for us. And I don't mind celebrating that and telling people what that's meant to me. Let me spend a little time telling you about the values of this congregation, of what we believe in. You hear us repeat it from time to time. We put it on every sign and logo we can possibly stand to put it on. Central believes in being passion-driven, forward-thinking, and spirit-led. I'll tell you a little bit about what those things mean. First of all, the idea of passion-driven comes from passages such as Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. There's a lot of things you can do haphazardly in life, but there's something you should be doing with all that you are. You know, we ask the wrong question all too often. Even Christians do. We'll say, I wonder what God's plan is for my life. It's the wrong question. We should ask, I wonder what God's purpose is for my life. When I ask plan, what I'm asking is, I wonder what God's going to do for me. When we ask purpose, we're asking, I wonder what God wants me to be doing. I'd have no idea what God's plan is for my life. I suspect there is one, but I have no idea. If you asked me just 5 years ago, will you be preaching at the Central Church of Christ in Ada, Oklahoma? I would have said, I don't think that's in the plan. Ha-ha, it was, right? I have no idea what happens next. God's plan is God's plan. And so I've stopped worrying about what the plan might be, but the purpose. What does God want me doing in my life? What is my life for? What resources has he put at my disposal? What gifts has he instilled in my life? What experiences have shaped me? What can I do with all of my life? And at the end say, that was what my life was for. That's your purpose. And we believe in purpose here. We believe every person bears the image of God uniquely and has a purpose in this world. God not only has a plan, He has a purpose. He made you to be doing something, and we want you to be connected with that here. There's an area of service that you're passionate about. We want you to be connected to that. We want you to live that out. We want you to get to the end of the day and said, today I did it. I did the thing I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Instead of another a night of silent desperation, thinking, I wonder what my life's all about. We want you to serve and be satisfied in your service because it's what God has called you to do. When we say forward thinking, what we mean by that might come from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples before he himself goes to the cross to his purpose. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will declare to you things that are to come. Jesus was the master teacher, and for over 3 years, he spent day and night with these disciples, telling them what they were to be. And at the end of that, he said, I still haven't told you everything yet. Jesus could not even start to prepare them for what they would face as his apostles. And if he had done that, he could not prepare them for the next 2,000 years of Christian history. I told you, I don't know what the plan for my life is. Imagine trying to say, now in 523 AD, here's what's going to happen next, and you need to be ready for that. He couldn't possibly do that. He says, I'm preparing you to think about the future, but I'm not going to tell you all the details. You couldn't bear it if I did. There are things to come. And the same is true for this church. This church doesn't look the way it did in 1950 or 1990. And if it's still around, God willing, in 2050, it'll look a little different still because that's the way it's worked for 2,000 years. What this church is committed to is keeping the principles and ideals of the gospel in the center and letting God sort out the rest. We believe the uncertain present will give way to a future that rests securely in God's hands. That the same God who has controlled the past and written the present will chart us a course, and we are open to wherever he wants us to go next. We're forward thinking. And then third, we say that we are spirit-led. What does that mean? We could talk a long time about what that means because it's an interesting idea. But again, I'll appeal to the words of Jesus who told his disciples in John 15, 16 through 18, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And even the Spirit of truth, you know him for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I love that last expression. I will not leave you as orphans. Too many Christians believe that's the way it is, that Jesus taught his disciples and then he said, good luck. Go figure it out. I do believe that he, as he admitted in the last point, did not chart for them every detail of the next 2,000 years, and I don't know the details of the rest of my life, and I don't know exactly the future of this church, but he didn't leave us as orphans. He did not send us into that future alone. He tells us that he, by his Spirit, will remain with us and help us to face whatever challenges come. We believe that God has not abandoned us to be orphans in this world, that he is with us even now and continues to guide and to strengthen us to face every challenge. Finally then, and this is the finally, what is the vision of the Central Church of Christ? What is it that we're trying to accomplish? What does it mean? Where are we headed? And to share that, I just want to share one brief parable from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and has sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Get it so far? There's a special event. Welcome Sunday. There's a special event. It's a wedding feast. And the king says, invite the people who ought to be here. Invite the people that ought to be invited. And he sends the servants out. And the servants do what servants do. They went out and they found the most likely candidates, the people that seemed like they would come to a wedding feast, that ought to get an invitation and ought to show up. If you read the story, I'm skipping a little bit, but if you read the story, each one of them came up with a reason they couldn't be there. Each one of them had something they thought was more important to do. Each one of them was distracted. And because of that, didn't respond to the invitation. They would not come. So what'd they do? Well, the king called off the wedding feast. No. He says, we are going to have a wedding feast. Like an empty one? No. It will be full. He didn't change the feast, but he did change the guest list. He said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Why weren't they worthy? Because they didn't come. There was nothing in my mind, there's nothing intrinsically good or bad about the people that didn't come except that they didn't come. They found something else to do and they weren't there. He said, so I guess they have decided they aren't worthy to be here. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. Yes, I know, but what kind of people? As many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. In fact, I read that wrong, didn't I? Both bad and good. They started with the people that didn't look like they belonged there. And I said, we got an empty room. Would you like to come? And Jesus says, that is how the kingdom is supposed to operate. And that is the vision of what this church is trying to be. That's encouraging to me. I'll tell you a little bit about myself and about the staff here at Central. When we were in high school, not many of us were at the cool kids table at lunch. I know it's really shocking to you. I was a nerd, and I'm still a nerd. Derek plays Dungeons and Dragons. Marla is a librarian. Felicia is the only human I've ever known who owns a peacock. Okay? We are odd ducks. We were not invited to the cool kids table. Okay? And when I look at this church, a lot of us are the same way. We aren't here because this is the coolest place to be in town. We're here because of what's here. This is a place where every person can be welcomed to the same table, can find there the feast of the Lord and his gospel, and be wanted because you came. So we have this vision. It's a simple idea. The Central Church of Christ will welcome everyone to Christ's table. There's a reason we called it Welcome Sunday, not Open House or Happy Wonderful Attendance Day. Welcome Sunday, because we want you to know we would love to have you here. And here you would be welcome. Here you would stop being a guest, and here you would start being family. If you go to our website, if you type in centralchristchurch.com, it's not us. But if you type in Ada Central Family, you'll find us. Because that's the identity. A place where you come and you sit and you share something with people. You know what a family dinner is? I don't know about your family, but when I have family dinners, they're all the same in the sense the food's good. Setting varies. It's not fine dining experience. We don't get the china out. Most often we eat on paper plates. And I got news for you. If you'll stick around this afternoon or here in just a few minutes, if I'll ever get done talking, if you'll go down to the gym with us, the food will be good and it'll be paper plates, right? It's family dining. It's a place where you can feel welcome. And that experience is part of our identity. This is a place, as we often say, where wanderers are welcome. If you're not sure about the cross of Christ, if you're not sure of what to do with it, you've come to the right place. You're welcome here. If you've been a Christian and have been hurt and wounded by churches and are not sure if you can stand to be in a church again, you're at the right place and you're welcome. If you've been in churches your whole life and are just entering a new season, you're welcome. If you've been here your whole life, we're glad you're still here, and you're welcome. This is a place where people following Jesus should be, and we'd love for you to be one of us. We want you to feel welcome at Christ's table. If there's anything we can do today to help you to feel welcome, we would love to pray for you. We'd love to assist you. We'd love to talk to the gospel about the gospel with you. We're going to stand and sing a song in a minute. If you want to respond by coming forward, that's fine. If coming down the aisle is the most terrifying, terrible idea I've ever suggested to you, then don't do that. But grab one of us afterward. I wore my shirt with my logo so you could find me. Grab one of us and ask what's going on here and tell me more. We want to talk to you about what we're trying to accomplish here at the Central Church of Christ, because we believe in the gospel and we believe every person needs it, and you're welcome here. We're going to stand and sing. If we can help in any way, you're welcome to come.